Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what do you do when your family is tormented by a dark entity day after day, yet no one knows exactly how to deal with it?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, you can also go to our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Write in right there and share away. We'd love to hear or read your real ghost stories. So please do send those in to us. And if you like the show, you want to keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person. That's an EPP, as we call them. You get, in exchange for your support of $5 a month and supporting the show, you get yourself a exclusive EPP bonus episode. We create a brand new one every single week and access to the archive of like 300 plus now EPP bonus episodes. They're all there exclusively for our EPP members. You get advanced episodes of the show before everybody else, and there's no commercials in them either, so that's kind of a nice one. Well, there's all sorts of other good stuff. You get our ebook, our audiobook, right? That's the $30 value right there. Anyway, check it out. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to support the program and keep us on the air. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you this day, and how are you?
Hey, Tony, I'm great.
Hey, is wonderful. I'm so glad we're on the radio together today.
Thanks, Tony. Me too. Hey, I have a question for
you.
Okay, so I was talking to my niece tonight.
Uh-huh.
And she says, do you think that a car can be haunted?
Mm.
And I'm like, I don't know, I guess.
Yeah.
And I said, I know who to ask, so I'm asking you.
Okay.
Do you have experience, like, have heard stories of people whose cars were haunted?
Yeah, I have. I can't pull them up in detail in my head, but I know there's been several over the years, where it's almost like movie-like, but it does happen where, you know, there's something going on, they can't explain it. When they get the car, it starts. When they get rid of the car, it stops.
Because here's her story. So, and she's had this car for a while, and it hasn't been haunted the whole time. So that's kind of weird. But she's at her friend's house, and she goes to her car, and her car had been, like, it'd been broken into, but no windows or anything were broken. But, you know, the glove compartment or door? Glove compartment? The glove compartment was open?
Yeah, okay.
I didn't know what you call it.
I think it's just glove compartment.
The glove compartment.
Yeah, that's it.
So, like, it'd been gone through, and she's like, that's really weird. I'm very anal about locking my car, as am I. But once in a while, you know, you forget. So then once something like that happens, you don't forget to lock it. Double check it.
Yeah.
So a couple days later, she's at her friend's house again. Maybe it's at her friend's house. This always happens. So she goes out to her car to leave, and the back seat of her car is down, and her car is super clean, like somebody had cleaned it. And so she thinks her friend's playing a joke on her, and she said they watched the video, like, of her car in the driveway and nothing. So then, I think it was today, she was in a parking lot, and it wasn't a crowded parking lot, and she was going to back up, and she said that she checked all her mirrors, and she goes, Carol, I promise you, I was not texting or anything. And she's checking it, she checks everything and backs up, and she hits something so hard that it, like, one of those where you kind of bump forward.
Yeah.
So she hits really hard. So she jumps out of her car, like throws in park, jumps out and runs to the back of her car. And there's nothing there.
Oh, God.
And she took some pictures. And it's a little bit funny to look at the pictures, but not really, because it really damaged her car.
Oh, like there was physical damage to the car?
Yeah, so like I'm pulling up the pictures because she wrote on each of them. So the first one is tailgate light remnants in the parking lot, scene of the crime. Then she posts no one around to hit. And then she posts an unhappy face next to the car light pieces that were on the ground, but it like busted out her entire light.
Oh my God.
Light, and a dent in the bumper, like a significant dent in the bumper.
Can you send me these pictures?
Yeah, I'll send you this one. This one that's called Very Badly Damaged.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So she jumps out and there wasn't anything there. But so she thought maybe it was She thought maybe it was a shopping cart, but there's no shopping cart.
Yeah.
So then her mom and I were like on a text exchange with her, and her mom's like, well, maybe, you know, obviously someone was backing up at the same time and you just didn't see them and they took off. She's like, I put it in park. I was out of my car within 3 seconds. There was not another car. So now she's literally going to trade in her car because she's convinced something's going wrong.
I don't blame her. That's so weird.
Isn't that weird? So I just texted you that one.
So is the damage just on that area? Is there any other areas of the back that have damage?
Just that area.
So it's in just that it's refined to that corner of the car.
Yeah.
It's not like all over there's like weird markings. It's just right there. Looks like if you're looking at the back of the car, like the back left and the lower portion
so
of
now
the.
I'm send, like this is how much space she had behind her car. Like she had significant amount of space. I'll text you this one too. And she took these pictures right away because her friend was saying, because Kate's like, my car is haunted. Like it doesn't clean itself. And her friend's like, your car is not haunted. So then when this happened, she's like taking pictures to prove that her car is haunted.
I'm looking at
so
the scrapes.
I said maybe somebody else's car has been haunted and they will message like the Real Ghost Stories group page or something and I'll share it with her.
Gosh, yeah.
Is this you, the one that's taillight remnants?
Yeah.
So I don't know, Kate. I'm like, obviously you have a haunted car. Like what? I don't know.
Well, either there's a haunted car and the other part that, you know, I don't know why it only seems to be happening in the car. And she wouldn't want to hear this is that maybe she's got something attached to her that's just kind of following her around. I don't know why in the car.
Yeah, she wouldn't want to hear that.
No.
No, so, I'm not telling
so
that girl that.
So,
the girl when she used to come stay with me every summer, and I think it was this summer she was 13. She wanted to watch the new one of the, there's a lot of Amityville horrors, but it was like a remake that had come out.
Yeah.
So we went to the movie theater and watched it, and that girl couldn't sleep by herself for the next 10 days that she was at my house. And I don't think has watched a ghost movie since. It traumatized her to that extreme.
That's funny. It was the Amityville remake, right?
Yeah, and it was really bad.
So that's funny because the next summer or the following, probably within 6 months of that movie coming out, I moved to Wichita. That's when I met you. And I probably had met her around that same time too, because you'd bring her into the station every
now
and then.
Yeah, she used to come stay with me.
Yeah, so I've known her since she was, you know, a teenager too, and yeah, I mean, she's just the most sane, you know, rational, normal person, you know, there is. This is so to have her going through that and having someone say that, you know, I never have this where I can vouch for someone and be like, yeah, they had this. They're,
right?
They're
she's
totally
a great person.
Not. Yeah, she's not someone who makes something like this up, but. Wow.
Well, and to document it with photographs. Like, she was so bugged by it. Like, she took all these photographs of the scene of the, accident.
That would just be so perplexing. I mean, you hit something, but there's nothing there. What the hell?
Well, and it seems like you, and I would think if you hit another car, you would have heard him drive off.
Yes.
Because I would think if she never, ever saw the car.
Or see.
She would have heard them driving off quickly.
I mean, the second she heard that thud, I'm sure her she was turned and looking at it within 1 second, you would see anything that was moving away from the vehicle. And if there was an object there, like a piece of concrete or something, it would clearly be there, or its remnants would be. Not nothing. That's
and like the damage on that car, yeah, as you see, yeah, is probably $500 to $1,000 because it really dented in that back corner.
That is weird. So has she traded it in, or is she about to trade it in?
No, she said, because tonight I was talking to her and she's like, so now I got to go buy a new car. And I go, no, did your car die? She goes, no, it's haunted.
Okay. So she's,
I have to trade it in.
Okay. I don't blame her. I'm going to be curious, though, if any of this continues after it's traded in. I hope it calms down for her sake. But I wonder.
I do, too.
I just wonder.
So I told her I would bring this up tonight. That yeah. said, like, I won't ever tell her that I actually did.
Okay.
So she won't be tempted to listen. Because she can't, because she's like, I can't ever listen to that show, Carol, because I'd never sleep.
She can't unhear
I'm like,
that.
Okay. I'm like, Tony and I, you know, we have some fun too. It's not all scary, scary, scary.
Yeah. So, yeah, she
the fact that you're kind of validating it would be enough to freak her out.
She couldn't unhear me saying, or there could be something attached to her following her around.
Oh, yeah.
Oh wait, yeah. Rewind. Don't just skip over that part.
So I'll just tell her, yeah, about that. Yeah. I decided what a dumb story to bring up. You know, it was stupid. What the hell? Your car is so not haunted. But trade it in anyway. It's got a dent.
It could be just you, not the car. I don't know. I mean, but the fact that it's connected to the car really does make me think it is more the car than her, quite honestly. So, but that is what I'm curious about, though. If this is just kind of the beginning of something, if, you know, this is just kind of how it's starting.
And you and I have talked about this before. Like, I think it would be super awesome if you had a ghost that was productive and did things like the dishes and cleaned and stuff. If you're going to be hanging around. And so the fact that the second time, like, her back seat's down and the car was clean.
That's cool.
I'm like, okay, I mean, that's really not something to complain about. Or if you have a stalker, the fact that they would clean your car.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's a very cute young woman. And she could have a stalker, too.
Yeah.
So I also, now that I said that out loud, I don't want her to hear that.
Yeah.
But it's just weird. It's weird.
It is very weird. I mean, you again on the broken part of the car, it looks like she ran into something. It's not a baseball bat hit. You know, by the looks of it, it's not a crazy person run by, you know, and then just take off. Plus you would see that person running. So,
yeah, and like sometimes we've all done that dumb shit where there's like some weird post or like a parking lot divider thing that you don't see.
Yeah.
And you hit it really hard. We've all done that. But as you can see, there's nothing like that behind her car.
Yeah. And that's probably immediately what she was thinking she did. And you wouldn't think paranormal right away. And then you're like, well, what? There's nothing here to hit. That is a weird one. Yeah. Well,
so there you go. I don't know what's up with that.
So thank you for calling in and writing in that story.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's it was good.
I'm going to become an EPP when I get a little bit more money.
I can't wait. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. I'll have a story I'll share with you just in a few moments after this story involving me and Jen and our property and very peculiar rocks or stone. We'll talk about that in just a moment. First, what do you do when your family is tormented by a dark entity day after day, yet no one knows how to deal with it? You go to Mr. Shields Ghost Cream, the cream that helps you get rid of ghosts. Rub on daily, three times. It's $12.99, and you can buy it right now at Walmart. Or I'm kidding. Are you sitting there, Carol? Like, what the fuck are you doing?
I'm sorry, my dog started barking. I don't know if you could hear him.
No, not at all. I was, the story just kind of led in with almost like a commercial-like entrance. So I jumped into just ad-libbing and stopping the story and saying they had to get a ghost cream. Because it starts out with, what do you do when your family is tormented day by day by a dark entity, yet no one knows how to deal with it? That's when I just broke into that. So anyway.
You get the latest.
Yeah, exactly.
Ghost repellent.
It's ghost repellent from Ortho. I don't know who makes what. Anyway, continuing on with the story. The child woke up from his sleep after hearing the small mechanical toy train moving. He thought his brother returned from school to play. Suddenly he saw a little girl with old-fashioned children's clothes saying, "Come and play with me," in Arabic. The child was surprised as this girl is not from the house, stranger to him, and looked like the same girl from his dreams. He started calling his brother Sam. "Sam, where are you? Mom, where are you?" Sam was 7 years old, his older brother, and was in a nearby school. His mother was gone to the market, as she used to do daily to bring fresh fruit and bread. "Don't be afraid," the girl told the child. "Who are you?" the child asked. "I'm Alam," she replied, and pushing the mechanical toy train towards the child to play. The child told her he knows her. "She looks like the girl in his dreams." And she replied, "Yes, I am," and sent the toy train back to him. Then the child did the same. He winded the train, forwarded it to her and back, and they played with a small train back and forth. No one was in the house as the child's father went to work and his mother went to market with his small brother, while Sam, the older brother, in school. Alam was happy and focused on the toy train. Then, and as always, she directs the toy train in a different direction, and when the child went to get the toy train and turned back to resend it to her, she was gone. The child could not find her at all. He looked everywhere. He kept it secret and didn't tell his mother. The child thought that Alam is from the next house and that she came from the upstairs down to the house, as the houses back then are side by side and anyone can jump from one house to another. She came once in a while, and the child alone, only to play with him. They were the same ages, 5 years old. That child was me back in 1958 in Baghdad City. My mother was tormented with poltergeist activities in Baghdad City back from 1957 to 1960 in our old Turkish-style house. My mother was pushed from the stairs and broke her elbow by what she said was an older male ghost. I got slapped by unseen forces when I used to go to the old kitchen area. My brother Sam was a sleepwalker, and he used to say that a voice tells him to go upstairs and jump from the top of the house. My mother saved him twice. Once, he was standing on the edge of the house in Baghdad. My mother used to read from the holy book and cleanse the house with sage and salt and put candles, and used to ask for permission to go about certain areas of that old house. And when I asked her to whom she was talking, she told me that these unseen forces could harm us if we provoked them. So we must be careful and always keep the place clean. Many times blankets will be pulled so suddenly from us, and my mom runs to the room praying until they stop. Dishes and kitchen items used to fall from the shelves without reason. It seemed that most happened in one area, or lead to one area of the house. It was like they're trying to tell us that they are in that area. My dad used to blame my mother for not being careful, as he never believes in the jinn or those unseen elementary spirits. The old house has a water well beside modern sinks and water pipes. When I was 5 years old, I woke up way after midnight to have a drink of water from the old ceramic jar upstairs. When I was in the house from the upstairs, I saw a man washing his legs using the water from the artesian well. Then he turned his face and looked at me with a beautiful smile. He was wearing old-fashioned clothes that were not from our era and time. I ran scared and told my mom she was sleeping. She knew and told me to go to bed. My dad heard the noise and asked my mother, "What was wrong with me?" I told my dad that I saw a man who may be a thief downstairs by the well. My dad used to put a gun and flashlight beside him, so he took the gun and flashlight and went downstairs searching. My father could not see anybody and told my mother that I was dreaming, or maybe my mother's stories gave my imaginations running wild. "I know what I saw," I told my dad. And then I went to bed. My older brother, my mother, and myself started hearing voices in that area of the kitchen and the water well. The voices were coming from a specific area in the house. People screaming when I was beside the corner of the old kitchen, but we could not find who or where. After multiple accidents had happened to my mother, she asked my dad to move from the house or she would leave him. The voices started to influence my brother Sam to jump and kill himself. It was so dreadful to live in that house. We used to have continued nightmares. We'd see shadow figures and some other white figures moving at night and early dawn. When my dad comes to see, he could not. It's like hide and seek, and my dad is always telling us to stop imagining things. Until one day my dad was in his room and he saw his old recorder pushed away from the table as it was playing some music. And when the recorder playing, reading from the holy book, all activities will stop. My father saw a shadow figure move so fast back to the old kitchen area. My father thought the activity is coming from the old water well, so he hired a construction team to come to the house, close the water well, and repair some areas in the kitchen of the Turkish bath and put in new brick shelves and new paint. To everybody's surprise, the workers uncovered a grave. What we found were the remains of 5 skeletons, a complete family buried side by side in a grave in our house. The police were called in and they took skeletons to the authority to find out who they were. Later, my father found out it was a dead family of 6. Apparently, the bones dated back more than 400 years earlier in the same area that our house was built on. And they died by carbon monoxide poisoning or some other form of poisoning, as the police said. We heard no voices after that, and there were no activities after they removed the 6 skeletons from our house. There were a man, woman, and 4 children, exactly the number of our family at that time. 3 boys, 1 girl. Sam, my older brother, goes to school. Rad, my younger brother, goes with my mom to market. He was 2, and Alam, my sister, was not born yet and was still in my mother's belly. I told my mother about the little girl who played with me, as her name was Alam. My mom decided to call the baby girl Alam after she was born. After a few months, my father sold the house. We moved to a different area in upscale Baghdad City until 1962. My father was poisoned, and after a new government had taken over, as my father was working for the previous presidential family as a family portrait artist. We were above the middle class, and then we became extremely poor as all my dad's assets, money, and studio were taken by the government at that time. I felt that the little girl, Alam, was trying to guide me to her family grave. I miss her to this day. My mom died in 1998. My dad died in 2003. Both are buried in Baghdad City. My brother, Sam, migrated to the USA. Died in 2001, buried in Las Vegas. My sister, Alam, is still living in Baghdad. Among other 5 sisters, my mom went to have 6 girls and 4 boys. My brother Radish still lives in Baghdad. I migrated to Canada in 1979 and now live in Calgary. Thank you, Steve. Quite a story. Quite a story to live through, and with so many emotions and the history, and almost like movie-like the way it ends. And then you go and you're picturing this. Well, you have to remember, where is this? What part of the world is this taking place in? Baghdad. So lots of history there. 400 years ago, yep, there was a city there. And so it makes sense to find skeletons of that age. What did you think?
I thought it was very interesting, because wouldn't that be a weird feeling to have all those things happen to you and then they find an entire family?
Yeah.
Of skeletons in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's bad enough to find like a possum. Like, that would creep me out.
Sure.
But like, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
And then the fact that it all stopped once they, so it's almost like they couldn't rest until somebody found them and properly gave them a proper burial.
Yeah.
But if they all died of carbon monoxide, like,
that's,
did they all just crawl into a room together?
My question on that is, how, you know, if these are 400-year-old skeletons, how do you make that diagnosis or autopsy? Unless, you know, they were looking at it as they were all 6 under the ground, and it wasn't really necessarily a medical autopsy. It was more so, well, these 6 people were in a well together, and they clearly got covered by something, so it was carbon monoxide poisoning that they all died from. So that's maybe how they're making that assumption, that since they're all appeared to have died simultaneously.
Yeah. So that, yeah, to me that's weird.
Yeah.
And then that they would have, I mean, of course, in 400 years, you know, they could be totally covered up by feet of dirt.
But sure.
It just seems weird that, like, immediately someone just moved in and just put dirt over them. You know, like,
yeah.
Didn't anybody ever notice? Or maybe...
It was at the bottom. Weird.
Like a whole family would disappear. No one would go, let's check out their house.
Well, if you're talking 400 years ago, maybe it was intentional. Maybe somebody wanted that family gone because they wanted that piece of property. And that was the way that they got rid of them. You know?
Okay. I didn't think about anything like that.
So, yeah, that's, I'm not thinking they all went down to the well to go get water together. I'm thinking someone
they all died.
Murdered
and
them.
And who knows if that's really the legit cause.
Yeah.
Maybe they all ended up in the well one by one.
They're already dead. My guess is, you know, it's something that's like, let's throw them all in and then they'll die. You know, I don't know. That would be my guess. That's 400 years ago, the way things got settled, very different than today in many areas.
And it's really hard to take on that cold case file.
Yeah. Little difficult. That one, I don't think would make it to the new Unsolved Mysteries.
No, I don't either, but I did watch an episode of that the other night, and that's some of the best theme music ever.
I'm so happy they brought it back, the way that it was. It's different enough. Obviously, they redid it, but they redid it so tastefully, just with a slight modern feel to it. But I said it sounds different because this is completely digital done. The old one was all analog, so this one it sounds crisper. But I think that's the only thing that's different is it sounds crisper than the original. But I love that they paid homage to the original and didn't come up with some sort of new theme and all that. I do miss having a host. I do miss having a voiceover on the show. I think the show could use a voiceover. But the more modern style of doing a show like this is using the voices of the individuals telling the story and kind of piecing it together that way. So I get it, but I like...
was it Robert Stack?
Yeah, it was. And I'm a purist with that. You can't bring Robert Stack back.
There might have been a deal like, you know what? He can't be replaced.
Yeah.
And we don't want to.
And you know what? I'm cool with that idea because when they redid Unsolved Mysteries with a different host in like the early 2000s, I mean, the story, the production value was good, but the host I thought was just blah and it was not Robert Stack. And I mean, that's one of those things like you're screwed if you take that job because you will just never, ever replace him. But I think the show could have a complete new life going hostless. Because it's for today, but it's told in a very similar way as it did in the past. They're longer shots on the people and longer just kind of atmospheric shots that really set the mood. They really kept that, which I was very surprised by. Because when I was talking with a production company last year, when we were working on some stuff before COVID and everything, I was pitching the idea of bringing back an Unsolved Mysteries type style thing. And everyone was in that production company was like, it's too slow. It's just too slow. It's not going to work. I'm like, that's what would make it different because nobody's doing that. And it was like, it's just too slow. And here Unsolved Mysteries came back and they stayed that way. And more power to them. I think they're doing a good show. We watched episode one. It gave Jen nightmares. And now I have to watch it by myself. And that's the honest to God truth.
Oh, that's funny.
So,
I don't know what episode I watched. It did not give me any nightmares, but I thought it was super well done.
We just did the first. I forgot what the first one was about. A guy that ended up dying, but it looked like he was like projectiled through the ceiling of a very tall building. It made no sense how he got to this place in an old hotel.
That was the one I watched.
Yeah, in the old hotel. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
It's very,
Everybody,
very bizarre.
Go to Netflix and watch that when you can.
It's not an advertisement. They did not pay to be on the air, but they just got one hell of an advertisement. Many other shows spend a lot of money to do that. So there you go. There's your free one, Netflix.
Sometimes you just got to share what you like.
I'm just being completely honest and blunt. Again, not an ad. It was just, I thought it was well done. I'm very excited to watch the other episodes. So tonight, me and Jen were walking outside and we were walking our fence line that goes across the neighbors. It's his fence, but it comes butts right up to ours. And we were noticing every few feet rocks or a rock. And it was very, just very worn down. You know, very water worn, almost like what you'd see on a beach, but not quite, but just, you know, what you'd see it in a pasture. And they were just, they were bigger, but they were kind of brick-like shaped. And we're like, what are these? And it went straight along our tree line. And we started to figure, oh, this is probably parts of an old stone fence. That's our guess, the way they're kind of laying around. And there's a lot of them in kind of different shapes and pieces, because I'm like, are these fucking graves? You know? But she's like, no, they're not graves. I think they're part of an old fence. But she wants to look into the history of our property.
I would go with old fence.
Yeah.
Because a lot of towns out around there and here.
Yeah.
They, you know, there weren't a lot of trees back in the day.
No.
I mean, where you live, they have trees. But out here, you know, on those prairies, they didn't really have a lot of trees. Yeah. So they used stone for fencing. And like where my sister lives in southeast Kansas, we were driving her house the other day, and they have this weird thing. They're kind of like, it's rock formations, probably 3 feet high, but they're square, mm-hmm. pretty big, and they're all over the place. It's like, that's a lot of work to go to. Like,
yeah.
I could see, like, here's the corner of my land.
Yeah.
Here's where that section ended or something.
Yeah.
But there's, like, in other parts of the state, they have limestone fencing because they had a lot of limestones. Or, you know, so that would be my guess. And then over the years, they got worn down, knocked over.
Yeah, pasture went through all the equipment and all that. It's just interesting to find these little remnants. And we're picking some up. I'm like, look at these. They're like perfect little worn down bricks, you know, but they're rocks.
Kind of awesome.
They're neat. And there's so many of them. And she's like, I'd like to do something with them. And I agree. I think it'd be great to figure out. And there's probably not enough to find to build a fence again, but maybe something small. And I don't know what, but I think it's cool. I think it'd be kind of a tribute. The way that we work, we get so attached to a property or a place or a house or items and stuff, me and Jen. It's part of our aspiness. And so it is. It's totally something that's on that's on our list of shit. but it's we just find such connections to those things, and so we're both just like, you know, foaming at the mouth, going, "Oh my God, what can we do to like kind of like?" It's almost like you're paying tribute to the past, to the property, and showing that, you know, you love it, and you know that this is mine right now, but someone else will get it. You know, I don't know what that is. It probably fits into some sort of religion of some sort, but it's just, you know, it's respecting what you have while you have it, and you know, just doing your part while you're there. So anyway, and then also paying tribute to what was there, and you know, when you find remnants of what was, just, you know, taking a look at that stuff. So we're kind of excited about it.
It's really amazing. You've been taking some super cool pictures.
Thank you.
So if somebody doesn't follow Tony on Instagram, do that. My Instagram, you can follow me, but it's just pet pictures. But Tony's got some really cool pictures.
I got tons of pet pictures too. It's just,
lately you do.
It's funny. You look at my Instagram and like the whole photo, you know, it's like when you scroll through all of them and like the big, you know, big sheet of them, you can see the point at which we decided to move here to this farm and previous. And you can see my mood elevate, and it goes from like kind of dark and like scary. And then it all of a sudden it's like, I swear to God, if you just scroll for like a little while, the last month or two or three, it's just been like fucking ponies and rainbows. And I'm not even kidding.
There really is.
But it's been great. And I've been learning actually a little bit about some therapeutic things. And it's interesting. On the Grave Talk, somebody was telling me about this, about just how healthy and therapeutic it is for certain types of people. Probably Jen and myself, just how therapeutic just having land, being on land, being away from people, and just the silence and kind of reconnecting has so many properties to it, or what it can do to you. Mentally and physically is just kind of amazing. And it just, I can feel it being here. I probably feel and sound like a different person. I didn't thought I would be talking like this, but that's how I'm feeling about this place.
I love it. I can't wait to come see it.
I can't wait to find a grave. So I'm hoping that happens at some point.
I imagine at some point you will find something like that.
I you know what? If it's, as long as it's not like right next to the house, I'm totally, totally cool with it. Like, I'm actually kind of hoping, like, way back in the pasture, a part that we haven't gone to yet, we're going to find like something. And even Jen's like, I'd be cool with that. If that was like far away, but I'd respect it. It's something we even talked about when we were looking at property was, you know, if we find one of these old houses, which we did not, and it had like a family plot somewhere way out in the back, are you cool with that? And we're both like, yeah, I'd probably go put like flowers out there and decorate it and keep it up and, you know, do that. We would get a kick out of that sort of thing. Something that would like be a huge, you know, this is never going to sell to us to be like, let's fucking buy it now. You know? So, yeah, but we did go through one house that did not have a family plot, but almost should have the way it was built onto for like 150 years. And it was the first time it was being sold outside of their family. And it was like somewhat like going through a miniature, what's the house in California that just kept getting built onto?
Oh, it's like the Winchester
Mansion. It's like a mini Winchester Mansion. It just like went on and it made no sense the way things went through it. And a part of me absolutely loved it. And so did Jen. And the other part was like, okay, for what they want for this, they're going to have to spend double to fix it. And I don't have $1 million. So it's just like it would need like completely new rewiring everything. And it was built onto, you could literally tell the part that started in like 1858 and then probably renovation stopped around 95 is my guess. And each addition, each room kind of has the characteristics and the physical appearance. There's remnants of the decade it was built in. And it was really kind of neat to see. And
I really want to go to that Winchester house sometime. That's on my list of places I will visit in this life.
Yeah, I definitely want to see that one too. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. I know a lot of the stories we had today were like directly from us, but we stayed on topic.
Sorry.
So we stayed on topic. So, hey, you can't shoot us for that. Until next time, become an EPP, extra podcast person, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/real ghost stories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.